Hey there, welcome to Why We Run. My name is Beth Baker, and I chat with other humans about running, life, and, well, why we run. I'm also a running coach up in Seattle who teaches people how to start running. Are you ready? Let's go. All right.
Sweet. Hi. I promise.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Oh, good. You sound so professional all of a sudden. My guest runner today has an impressive resume. He's a writer and editor at Wired. He's the co-host of the very popular Gadget Lab podcast, and I've been lucky to know him for the majority of my life. We went to junior high school and high school a million years ago and have stayed very good friends, and I disintegrate into a stupid seventh grader whenever I talk to him. Here is Michael Calori. You gotta tell me who you are and like what you do for things and stuff.
Sure. So my name is Michael Calori. I live in San Francisco. In my professional life, I'm a writer and an editor. I work at Wired. I've been a technology journalist for about 20 years, 22 years, something like that.
No, that's not right. Really?
Yeah.
God, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's okay. Totally crazy. I also play music. And I enjoy riding my bike and running on the streets of San Francisco. And you and I have known each other for like 80% of our lives.
90%. That's a very nice way of saying it. Yeah. Instead of years. We should have like a pie chart and like Mike and Beth know each other and then, you know, the other parts.
Yeah.
It's very small.
Be very slim. Yes.
Yes. Well, thanks for doing this. I'm really excited about it. You are now running, and why did you start doing that crazy thing?
Oh my God. So do you want like the long version or the short version?
I can edit like a mofo. You have no idea.
Okay. Well, I never really did much active for my whole life. I mean, I've always like, you know, ridden my bike and I've enjoyed hiking and stuff, but like as far as like actually doing strenuous physical activity, I was always a stranger to that.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just lazy, I guess.
Yeah, you're so lazy. I'm glad you brought it up.
So when I turned 40, I decided that it was time for a change because I had this like weird little health scare where like there was something wrong with my thyroid, and I'm fine. It just turns out that my thyroid doesn't produce as much thyroid hormone as it should. So yeah, it was very difficult for me to like keep my weight under control, and I was just feeling really sluggish, and you know, and like no matter what I did, I felt bad all the time. I started taking thyroid medication and I started to feel better, and I was like, okay, now is my chance. Like now I can actually like become the person that I've always wanted to be in my head. One of the things that I started doing was I started running. I kept getting injured.
Yeah.
Like I would run and I would do like a couch to 5K type program, and I would get up to 5K, but then, you know, something would happen. Like my knee would hurt, or my hip would hurt, or my back would hurt, or my feet would hurt. Like I would wake up the next morning and like one foot, I could barely walk on it, that kind of thing. Plantar fasciitis, various different sort of tendonitis diagnoses over the next 3 or 4 years. So I just basically would run for like 2 or 3 months and then have to stop. And then I would stop for 2 or 3 months and then start back up again.
Oh, yeah, start all over.
Yeah.
Why did you keep at that? I mean, like what, why would, I mean, there's other things to do.
Yeah.
why was it? I know you're stubborn.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Whenever I was running, I would feel good about the results, right? Like I would feel like I was actually was sleeping better. I had more energy, you know, during those like peak times right before the injury would set in.
Yeah.
Mostly it was just like, it was an opportunity for me to do the thing that I knew that I needed to do in order to stay healthy in like the second half of my life. Right.
Yeah.
Like you have to stay active. You have to make sure you get your heart rate up for a certain amount of time every week. And running is like the most convenient and inexpensive way to do that. Especially if you live in a city, right?
Yeah.
You join a gym and it's like 100 $50 a month, right?
Yeah.
You can go out and ride a bike, but that's kind of dangerous. And if you're in the city, there's only so much riding you can do. I mean, that's not necessarily true, but for me, it is just right. Like the hills of San Francisco make it. Well, you know, like through the whole time I kept riding my bike.
Yeah.
And I still ride my bike all the time. I guess, so there was a big turning point about 2 years ago when I turned 45. Four things happened in like rapid succession that really turned me into like an actual runner who runs all the time. One is shoes.
Yeah.
Two is nutrition. Three is I got a mantra. And number four is I got really good advice from you.
Oh, okay. You're going to have to tell me what that is. Well, you have to tell me what the mantra is too.
I will. I mean, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, the shoes, right? So like as my job, I get to test a lot of different products. Like I do consumer products coverage. So okay. Like at Wired, we write about everything from like iPhones and, you know, gaming consoles to like tennis rackets and skis. So I get to test shoes, and I was sent a pair of shoes by On Running, the Swiss right. company. And they've got those little like bubbles underneath yes. them. And when the shoes were sent to me, they had this like little sheet that explained the design. And it said, you know, this is like our ultimate support, ultimate cushion shoe for taller, heavier runners who need, you know, extra cushion to prevent injury. And I was like, oh. I'm some of those things.
Yes, you were. Yes. bring out the pie chart again.
Seriously. So I put them on and I ran with them, and I started ramping up my mileage and no injuries.
Yay!
Yeah.
And shoes are a big, and it's so funny because I think it's in the last 20 years that the shoe companies have caught on, and we have more information. They become more technical and all the things, and more expensive, of course, too. Like the old 70s and 80s. Frame of mind is that your knees are just going to hurt, and mm-hmm. that there's no other better way. But it turns out like that's like the first thing that I mean, when I have shoes that are too old, I feel it like immediately. Like, what did I do to my hips or my butt? I'm like, oh, yeah. I need new shoes. And it happens, well, for me, when I was running a lot, it happened really quickly, like every other month. And now it's less because I'm running less. But it's in like knees, ankles, it affects so many different things, and it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll hear my cat meowing.
Yeah. I heard that.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, I went through probably four or five different pairs of shoes before I found these. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was always like, I would go to the store and they would put a pair of shoes on me and tell me run to the other end of the store and then run back.
Right.
And then they tell me what my stride was all about. And then
did you run really fast like a little kid?
No, I ran like my normal, my normal thing.
I could just imagine you going boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Barreling and like crashing into like the box of foam cubes.
Knocking down customers. Look how fast I can go.
Excuse me. Testing shoes here. Anyway, not SpawnCon. Those are the ones. Those are the yeah. ones for me. I really like them. I think I'm on like my fourth pair of On Running shoes.
Okay.
So what was number two? Nutrition.
Nutrition, yep.
You have to not drink?
Oh God, I hate that. I know. It's a thing. I mean, you can. It's just it gets in the way.
It really does. Like so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had no idea until I started running basically like more than 3 miles, mm-hmm. right? Because like I can go out and do 3 miles like hungover, or if I ate like a burrito at midnight or something like that,
oh my God.
You know, I could go out the next morning and I can run 3 miles fine.
That's but also if I wanted... youth too. That's kind of a youth thing.
Yes. Although I am not a young person.
Okay. Pie chart.
Pie chart. So I really figured it out. It's like, okay, you know what? If I like pay close attention to what I eat the night before, I know I'm going to be running the next day, and I don't drink, mm-hmm. and then I get a good night's sleep and I wake up and I go out and I can just go like twice as far.
Yeah.
With like no problems.
Right. It's crazy.
It is.
In Seattle, I always tell people that it's the alcohol and the coffee combined
Oh, God.
The coffee just is diuretic. So you have to just drink extra water. And water is just like muscle juice. That's basically what, I mean, if you don't drink it, if you don't have enough water in your system, your muscles are just going to really, really feel it. It's just
lactation. Yeah.
So the alcohol is also diuretic. And so you put those two, I mean, everybody here drinks coffee. I never drank coffee like I drink coffee here. So you really have to be mindful of drinking a lot of water, a lot.
So wait, I'm not supposed to drink coffee before I go out?
You can drink coffee. It's just another diuretic on top of alcohol.
Okay. So if I don't drink the night before and then I wake up and drink coffee and then go for a run, I should just have like a glass of water.
Yeah. Or just be drinking water throughout the day.
Okay. Well, yeah, I do that anyway. Yeah. I have my water bottle here. It never leaves my side. I had to stop drinking beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely stopped drinking beer. I mean, not only like before I run, but it's just like, you know, it just affects me so much the next day.
It's bloaty.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So like running and paying attention to how much I'm drinking and what I'm drinking has made me like not drink beer. So now I just drink a lot of like mezcal and tequila. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
With your coffee in the morning, of course.
Yes.
Yes.
little snake bite.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I think it's whiskey and coffee is a snake bite.
Okay, so that's nutrition, shoes,
mantra.
Yes.
So my former boss.
Very vulnerable. So you don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
Well, I know you're not supposed to say your mantra out loud.
Really? I think that's a birthday wish.
No, it's I think like in the Hindu tradition, you're not supposed to say your mantra out loud, but
okay. Do you know acronym?
I'll share it with you because it was shared with me spoken. Okay. So my former boss, Nick Thompson, who was the editor in chief of our publication and has since left to go to the Atlantic, God damn him. He is like an elite marathon runner. He runs in masters and he's like, you know, crazy fast. He's like really, really fast. He finishes, I don't know, top 10% consistently, maybe even better than that. I don't know. All I know is that he's damn fast. So when I started getting serious and I was like telling him, you know, like, hey, I'm starting to run. And he's like, great, what's your pace? And I'm like, I'm running like 11 minute miles. And he'd like make fun of me.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, he didn't give me a mantra, but I heard him talking about his running mantra. Mm-hmm. And I have since adopted it. And it's balloon bicycle.
Okay.
So you imagine that the top of your head is connected to a balloon, like a helium balloon, so that balloon is lifting your head up and it keeps your back straight. And then your feet go around like you're pedaling a bicycle.
Okay.
So you stand up as straight as possible and keep your feet more like you're pedaling a bicycle instead of, you know, like clomp, clomp, clomp running.
Right. Right.
So whenever I'm like at a point where I'm starting to feel fatigued, or particularly like if I'm going up a big hill, or I'm having just a hard time, I say to myself like balloon, bicycle, balloon, bicycle, balloon, bicycle, balloon, bicycle. And it really like snaps me out of whatever I'm feeling and back into like paying attention to my form.
Yeah.
And really like putting all of my thought and concentration into that. And then it's like all of the bad thoughts just go away.
Yeah. It definitely is a great reframer for, because you're, when you're tired, you just, the, you know, the angry people always win.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just, and you don't want to, you get, I mean, I can speak for myself and I just have been doing this for so long that it's just, you just get mad and grumpy and pissy. And so having any kind of like outside voice for your mental state is just so helpful. I like that. That's awesome.
Is that why you,
form corrector too.
Is that why you like to run with other people or run in groups?
Well, I get paid to do that. So the answer to that question, I will only get paid. There is a magic that happens when people run together, and I really, really enjoy it. But since when COVID happened, I ran more by myself, and I also ran with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was a whole game changer too, because before I was more of a therapist where people would just tell me all their things, and I couldn't, you know, give them any feedback or anything like that. Or even like vent myself because I wasn't that person to them. So when I started running by myself, I really enjoyed it because it's just, you know, time away from myself and I listen to something and that was awesome. And then running with an actual person like that, you can like solve things and ask things and collaborate. That was pretty awesome too. And because you're, I mean, we're going slow, so we're able to talk and going further. And I know that's what my running group gets out of each other, but I am not that person. So they, in the middle of their groups, they have all their people that they collaborate and talk and share and solve the world's problems with, but I'm not that person. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Just cause like, I always listen to either podcasts or music when I'm running, but every once in a while, like I wake up in the morning and like my headphones are dead.
Yeah.
You know, or I have one pair of running shorts that has like a key pocket.
Yes.
And nothing else.
Yes.
And I never wear them for that reason. And sometimes they're the only ones that are clean. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going out there without headphones today.
Yeah. When I first started running, I had my yellow Walkman. And I actually trained with that for my first marathon with that stupid yellow Walkman. Because that was my crutch. I mean, I had to listen to something because I couldn't like hear the sound of my breathing. It was just so shameful because I was just like, I felt hurt myself and then I felt like I was going to die.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, starting out as well. So I had to listen to something to like drown that sadness out. So I used to have my headphones and I would listen to that. And I remember going out into the Panhandle in the Golden Gate Park and the batteries died and I just stopped and I walked back home. It's not happening today.
Yeah. If you have like a really bad day, do you have like a minimum distance? Are you like, well, I'll just do 2 miles?
Oh, I tell people to just go for 5 minutes. If I have a bad day, then I'm definitely running.
Yeah.
If I'm tired and I don't wanna, which is usually the issue. There's a telephone or like our first traffic light about a half a mile down from our street. Mm-hmm. And I just have to get to that. And once I'm there, it's all down. There's like a downhill in the park and stuff like that. All the things happen. And I'm like, I just have to go to the little stupid thing. And then once I'm there, I'm out.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I'm on a grid plan.
Yes.
So it's like every 10th of a mile, there's another reason to turn around or bail or go sideways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hush. Hush.
Which one is that?
That's Poppy.
Poppy. All right. So we got shoes, mantra. Oh, my advice. That was the fourth thing.
Your advice. I had this breakthrough, I would say like October of last year, October of 2021. I finally was like able to consistently run more than 3 miles without stopping. Mm-hmm. I used to run like 2 miles and then stop and let my heart rate come back down. And then turn around at that point and then run the 2 miles home.
Yeah.
And I had a running watch and I was like paying really close attention to my heart rate and I was paying close attention to my pace. I was doing like about 10 to 10:30 a mile and I was paying close attention to my distance and all this stuff. And I remember, I think we saw each other around that time last year. I don't know. It was like November or December, the last time we saw each other in person. And I was telling you all this and I'm like, I'm paying close attention to all this stuff because I know that like, if I build up my distance and I watch my heart rate closely, I can make it to the 10K and I'm doing a 10K at the end of February. And you just like stop me and you're like, you could go out tomorrow morning and do a 10K. You absolutely could just go do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but my watch and my regimen and, you know, and you were just like, don't worry about that. You could just do it tomorrow.
Yes.
And I think it wasn't the next day because I was drinking, obviously. Right. But the next time I went out, which was like 2 days later, I was just like, all right, I'm going to leave my watch at home. I'm just going to pick a point on the map that's 3 miles away. I'm going to run there. I'm going to run home. And I did it and it was fine.
Yeah. Nothing exploded.
No.
No. Yeah. Sorry.
And like miles 4, 5, and 6 were all just as easy as miles 2 and 3.
Yeah. It's the first 3 miles are the hardest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did my first like actual real 10K.
I saw that. I know. That was so cool.
Yeah. In Berkeley. I've done the 5K a couple of times, but I've never done the 10K before. So that was exciting.
Was it easier than you thought, or was it more difficult to do it in like a race situation?
It was remarkably easier than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it was easy.
Right.
But it was smooth.
Yeah.
It was like very smooth and psychologically not grueling.
Yeah. Is it really hilly there?
Yeah, it's not super hilly, but there is there's a pretty big hill in the front half, and then the second half is like an out and back. Mm-hmm. And there's a hill in the middle of it.
Okay.
So you go up a hill, turn around, and come back down. There was a point, you know, it's like you're in the race with all the other, with like everybody, with like all the children and the people
who are doing runners. Yeah.
Yes. But like all the other distances, there are some people who are just doing like the 1.2K. And then there's other people who are doing a 5, and then all the people doing the 10, and then the course splits and the 5K people go to the left and they go down the street and then they hit the finish line. And then the 10K people go to the right and then they go and they do the out and back through North Berkeley. And when I did that turn and I was like on the 10K course, that's when it really hit me. Yeah. And I had to like check in with myself a little bit. I'm like, I'm doing okay. Halfway done.
Well, like when half the people leave, you're like, why? What do they know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a little bit of panic, but also like I have this under control, it's going to be fine. And then I just did it. But I didn't walk any of it.
Yeah, that's good.
I stopped for about 20 seconds at the water stop at mile 2 and the water stop at mile 4.
Yeah.
So there was maybe like between 45 seconds and a minute of not actively running.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, you have to drink and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Are you, what's your distance that you want to keep at? Or do you want to do a half marathon or a marathon? No pressure. I'm not telling you on anything.
Well, that's the thing is like, everybody's like, oh, now you got to do
the
half.
It's like having kids. Yeah. Like, when's the next one? Like, I know, I'm done.
So like I did it with 10 minute, 37 second miles.
That's great.
I would like to do the same distance with 10 minute miles. That's my next goal.
Okay,
that's super. That's easy. My next goal. I feel like, you know, if I'm gonna hush, I feel like if I'm gonna like level up distance wise, I have to make sure that I have like all of my everything else has to be consistent. You know, I kind of feel like I should try to do that distance again and do it with like a more consistent pace from the beginning to the end.
Yeah,
kind of like,
I mean,
yeah,
you could do. I mean, it's all about your goal, your overall goal, but
yeah. I'm trying to turn myself into a machine is what I'm saying.
Right. Yes, I'm sorry. You're going to go like from Peter Weller to RoboCop.
Basically.
Is that the goal? Is that your goal?
Basically. Your move, creep.
When you're out running, do you have any kind of, I mean, I love the balloon bicycle imagery you have in your head. Do you think, I know you're a musician as well. What are you thinking about, or what is your big takeaway when you're coming back? Do you have any like mind-blowing ideas, or you can keep that secret as well, but yeah, do you have like song ideas, or do you have anything that you really are pulling out of running that you really are enjoying from that endorphin magic?
If I do have some sort of like creative thought, it's usually just about like something that I have to do that day. Mm-hmm. Like a choice about a story, or like a headline for a story, or like the first, you talk to people who are in journalism and they'll tell you that like once you have like the headline and the first couple sentences, then the rest of the story will often just write itself. So like sometimes I'll think of the headline and the first couple sentences while I'm running, but most of the time,
that's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Most of the time I get home and it's like nothing.
Ah, that was just kind of nice.
Yeah. It's like, big reason why I do it, right?
Right, yeah.
And my wife, Hillary, I always tell her, like, if you want to ask me anything difficult, like, ask me right when I get home from a run. Because I'll say yes. I'll be, like, extra thoughtful and receptive.
In my notes. What are you listening to? You can say podcast-wise or music-wise or whatever.
I listen to a lot of, like, interview shows. Basically, interviews with, like, creative people, like writers and musicians and actors and comedians and stuff like that. When I ran the race, I listened to music. Because, like, you know, it's less distracting.
That's something I tell people, and I also, like, remind myself, too. If I'm tired and I don't want to run, I'll listen to music. But if I'm, like, up and engaged, and I'll listen to a podcast. It's just, mm-hmm.
And what music do you listen to when you're in like that bright mood?
In the bright mood. Well, we have that great radio station, KEXP, up here.
Never heard of it.
I'm always on the rooftops shouting about it. So their music is like the only way I can, get new music because I'm old now. And I have to find new music. And I'm trying to listen to like albums again, like from beginning to end the albums.
Well, now's a great time to do that because all of the music that came out when we were in high school is now coming out on 30th anniversary remastered editions.
Yes. So, yeah, they do that on KEXP. They're just like, and this album came out 30 years ago. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Oh, shit. Yeah, the big ones were back in September when like Blood Sugar Sex Magik and Nevermind and like Soundgarden.
Our high school senior year 10 came out, I think, in 91.
Yep.
And I always connect with you with music because you were like my big brother in high school, even though you're younger than me by a couple months. But you're like bringing me these like unlabeled tapes. Like you're the one that gave me Bleach, I think.
Oh yeah, probably.
And just all the music that you gave me when like growing up, didn't know any of the music that you gave me. Yeah, you were totally like that person for me. So thank you.
Well, I have to thank you. You turned me on to Blake Babies, Nick Drake, Pixies, obviously. That's a big one that I never really took seriously until I met you. And I mean, until I met Bill and reconnected with you here as an adult. Yeah, for me, that pop and indie of that, like that's great running music for me. Like it has to be something that I am already really familiar with and like know the ups and downs of. Mm-hmm. So I listen like all when I'm running, that's pretty much what I listen to if I'm listening to music. I listen to like Guided by Voices and Sebado and like Nirvana and like all that stuff from, when I was like in my late teens that I know absolutely by heart. It just makes it easier.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's just comforting. It's like a little blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah, for your run.
And then when I'm having a really bad day, I listen to death metal.
Nice. As you do, like death metal, like
Necrot, Immolation, Blood Incantation. Okay. Every once in a while I'll go thrash and I'll listen to some Slayer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She just threw the horns for all of you listening at home. You can't see the video. Yeah. Absolutely. and like occasionally some punk, but usually like if I'm listening to a podcast and it's boring and I can't concentrate on it and I'm having like a difficult day physically and I'm huffing and puffing and I feel bad and I can't go fast enough or I can't like keep my body moving forward at the rate that I want and I just want to quit and go home, but I know I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Death metal.
And death metal. Do you have any questions or do you have any wonderies about from a running coach? And if I don't know, I'll just make something up.
If I want to shave that extra like 30 seconds off of my pace, that is a goal for me. Like I really don't care how fast I run, but it would just be nice to be able to say like, okay, I can do 10 minute miles and do a 10K in an hour.
Yeah.
So if I want to shave that extra, that stubborn, I've been at the same time for a while. So if I want to shave that like stubborn 30 seconds off of my mile pace, what should I do?
More death metal. I would think that would be great.
Really?
Yeah.
Blast beats.
Finish all your runs out of like last 100 meters as fast as you can.
Oh, okay. I did that. I used to do that, but I stopped doing it because one time I felt a little like ping and did not feel good the next day. So,
well, maybe not as fast as you can, but maybe at a faster rate, but yeah, at a pace that is completely uncomfortable. So I was like, if you see your house down the street, just gun it.
Nice.
So you have, and your mind loves to see a finish line. So,
yes.
It's your brain will be faster and it's like kind of the horse to the barn.
Oh, it's crazy. Like when I ran with my watch when I did that 10K last month and I looked at like the map and the last mile was the fastest by a lot.
Yeah.
It's like amazing how much of a head game it is, isn't it?
It's 90% mental.
The mental thing is exactly what I learned in that moment when we were standing in my dining room and you said like, oh yeah, you could just go do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I was like, ah. Yeah, it's like, but I don't get to like complain and overanalyze anymore.
But you're like a gadget guy. You're like a technology person.
And yeah, so you know,
I'm sure that was a crutch for you too.
Well, that's the weird thing is like I didn't even run with a running watch until maybe a year ago.
Oh, funny.
I had like this crappy like $10 Casio digital watch that has a stopwatch or like a beep, you know, like a little, I guess a stopwatch, a counter on it.
Yeah.
That's a stopwatch, right? Yeah. just to make sure that I was like out and I would just count how I would keep track of how long I was active because I wanted to make sure that I was out for 30 minutes.
Right.
So I had that when I very first started like 5-6 years ago. And I did that for about a year. And then I ran with no watch for a long time. And I actually like, I do prefer that. As soon as you put the watch on, like you just become consumed by the watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. And it's just like everything is about the watch and you're like, what's this? What am I? Oh, look at that. There's a spike there. Oh, I'm at 170. I got to stop and bring it down to like 145. You know, it's like, just throw the damn watch in the, in the e-cycling.
That's a good segue. So what, do you have a favorite gadget that you are in love with the running right now besides your shoes?
My earbuds, they are Master and Dynamic MW08. Earbuds. Okay. They're wire free. They're very expensive, but they sound amazing. They stay in, which is awesome. And the Bluetooth radio doesn't cut out like when I turn my head.
Okay.
Also they have like pass through so I can hear cars and stuff. Yeah. I can turn the noise canceling on and off. So I can also wear them on the train. And when the pass through is on, there's no wind noise.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Cause a lot of them have that feature, but like you turn it on and you're running and all you hear is like,
thank you very much. Is there anything else that you want to add or
I'm thrilled to be on this show because like not only do I get to spend an hour talking to you, but I get to spend an hour talking to you about a thing that you were like very instrumental in making a big part of my life.
Thank you, buddy.
Of course. That's nice. And you know, even though we've like known each other forever, this is like a different chapter.
Well, thank you. And I'm really, I'm super appreciative and you're very supportive. And
well, it was awesome. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening. Hey, if you're interested in learning how to run, we are opening up our Couch to 5K club next week. You can find information about that at runningevolution.com/couchto5k. I've also included Michael's death metal playlist for you to enjoy on your next run. Have a great run, and I'll talk to you next week.